Well, here we are again. We're back again. This is the Barden Report. PJ Barden is my name. And we're on, this is from RBN, Republic Broadcasting. And we're here on this Saturday, 23rd of July, 2016, live and in good form. I hope everybody is. But, and I should have said good morning to everybody at this ungodly hour, depending on which time zone you're in. But as I usually say, starting this program, it is dedicated to four or five subjects, exposing the horrors of SSRIs, vaccinations, GMOs, Agenda 21, we keep up with that, and all the related things of fracking and water wars. But as I say, the deli every week, I try to bring people good news and minimize the horror stories, but every week there's a deluge of information, and this week is no different. It just comes on and on and on. And on the medical side of things, we see here that Google are trying to become your local doctor. And there's a story here which says, Google has access to millions of patients' medical records. Isn't that wonderful? Confidentiality? Forget it. It says here, a confidential deal between tech giant Google and the National Health Service, that's the NHS in Britain here, will allow artificial intelligence units access to 1.6 million confidential medical records. Since 2014, Google has partnered with several scientists in an attempt to understand human health. But a new report reveals the data gathering goes far beyond what is originally anticipated. According to the documents obtained by the new scientist, the data sharing agreement between Google-owned artificial intelligence company DeepMind, there's another one for you to write down, Google and this, they have this other name for Google, Alphabet, something or other, but DeepMind and the Royal Free NHS Trust, beware of these trusts, they're always something else in disguise. The agreement between DeepMind and Royal Free NHS Trust gives access to the sensitive healthcare data of millions of NHS patients. The chilling and wide-reaching deal allows DeepMind access to the medical records of, as it says, 1.6 million people passing annually through the three London hospitals owned by the Trust. Oh, I see, it's a specific medical records of three hospitals. I wonder if each of these people signed agreements to release their medical information. I doubt it. Barnett, Chase Farm and Royal Free. The Google-owned AI firm announced in February it was working with the NHS to build up an app called Streams, another name to write down, intended to help hospitals monitor patients with kidney disease. However, the new information has revealed that the extent of the data being shared goes much further and includes logs of day-to-day hospital activity, records of the location, status of the patient, and even logs of who visits them and when. Whoa, that is outrageous. But I'm glad to put this information out. I'm sure it's going on in the States as well through the insurance companies and the hospitals. Results of pathology and radiology tests are also shared, as is information from critical care and accident and emergency departments. In addition, DeepMind's access to the centralised records of all NHS hospital treatments in the UK means the tech company can access historical data from the last 5 years. Wow. All while receiving a continuous stream of new data. At the same time, DeepMind is developing a platform called Patient Rescue, which uses hospital data streams to build tools to carry out analysis and support diagnostics. Well, I hope this article is coming to what I read last week, that the doctors, Google have a parallel organization of medical information, but I'll see if it comes to it. Comprising new patient information with millions of other cases, Patient Rescue might be able to predict that they are in the early stages of a disease that has not yet become symptomatic. For example, doctors could run tests to see if the prediction is correct. And we'll finish up this article. While the Royal Free Hospital, has not yet responded to the question of what, if any, opt-out mechanisms are available to patients, the new scientist, anybody can buy that off the news agents rack, suggests this is unlikely to be a straightforward process. Despite the agreement stating Google cannot use the data in any other part of the company's business, many will be seriously wary of what else they're doing with this data. But anyway, Google at it again in mining and selling data. It's just ongoing, never ending. And similar article says how government takes away your right to do something and sells it back to you. Well, we've had years of that. Sells it back to you as a license. Government has for thousands of years refined its methods of extracting wealth from people, perhaps with no greater efficiency than the 20th century than in 20th century America. The Federal Reserve, corporatism and consumerism proved a winning combination for achieving what is known as the Great Fleecing. While this brought out the largest transfer of wealth in history from the middle class to the 1% who run things through taxes, it has also fueled the growth of an incomprehensible Leviathan. The Pentagon alone borrows from the Fed $600 billion a year, using our tax dollars to perpetrate endless war. It's and it has never been audited. Well, the Federal Reserve has never been audited, as Ron Paul was trying to achieve before he retired. And it's not owned by the government. It is owned by the commercial banking system. The federal tax code is a nightmare for most ordinary people, but this complexity is for the benefit of government corporate partners in its extortion. It's like the thing... any financial investment, if it's complicated, it's a swindle. That's one good rule. And as I say, there's no financial rules, there's only financial crime. The feds are always fiddling with taxes for the supposed benefit of American citizens, such as housing stimulus packages, etc., etc. But as I say, here, come on to the core of the article here. Licensing as extortion. A favorite of state and local governments is the practice of requiring everybody who wants to provide certain products or services to be licensed. These licenses involve paying government to take some sort of test and or provide documentation of state-approved training, and then paying government every year at steadily increasing rates until you quit, retire, or die. The notion of being licensed may sound nice to people looking for a service, and the basic idea of demonstrating knowledge about a trade is good, but mandatory government licensing can be described simply as extortion rackets with no real purpose in making things safer. Well, that was one of the core reasons that shifted the Brexit vote here in Britain in favour of Brexit leaving the EU, apart from the major immigration problem. And every 2 instances a week now, the one in Germany and in France, all to do with fundamentalists who are enter the country through immigration. Take landscaping, for instance. So landscaping is very mundane. In most places, when someone wants to install ornamental planting at a person's private home, he or she must be licensed by a government. Oh, that's a new one on me. Being licensed is not really a way of to demonstrate knowledge or how to successfully landscape a home. It's a test on a lifetime of government fees. One of the most absurd examples of government licensing is African hair braiding. Oh, God. In 17 states, people who offer this traditional practice must have a cosmetology license or another special license. We're getting into ridiculous stuff here. The cosmetology license takes thousands of hours of classroom training. What? Thousands of hours of classroom training costs $5,000 to $15,000. It's usually unrelated to African hair braiding. Anyway, this is absolutely off the wall. There's no doubt about it. But anyway, just it's classic of... having to get a license. Well, obviously you have to license to drive a car, but the licensing and permits and regulations is just suffocating everybody, and which is going on to another very relevant article. Okay, very good. Let's hope we're back in again. Sorry, that's my apology. I hit the wrong button on the keyboard here. But I was saying about the entire debacle of a license for this, that and the other from the government. And here's one of the results. Working 60 hours a week at three part-time jobs and still living paycheck to paycheck. Michael Schneider writing a very good article here. What can you do when you are working 60 hours a week at three part-time jobs and still not enough? In America today, many people have taken on more than one job in a desperate attempt to make ends meet, but they still come up short at the end of the month. And those are actually working, and those that are actually working are the fortunate ones, because in one out of every five families in the United States, nobody has a job, at least that. We reckon it's 27% the employment rate in America. There are more than 100 million working age Americans that are currently not employed. And he's saying, yes, this is true. And as I pointed out yesterday, job cut announcements by major firms are currently running 24% ahead of last year's target or amount. But unemployment is just part of the overall problem. There in this growing misconception out there, there is in this growing misconception out there that if you have a job that you must be doing okay. Unfortunately, for a growing number of working people in America, that is not true. Well, we've got the same problem here in the UK. We have a legal minimum wage and another one there. That's the second one as well. But we have these 0 hours contracts, which are designed to get around that, which is outrageous. And young people in supermarkets can mean 0 hours contract, meaning you show up for work and you're told whether you've got 1 hour, 2 hours, 5 hours, or 8 hours work a day. And you don't get paid for the cost of going to work. Or maybe being sent a text, if they're really decent, 6 o'clock in the morning. Sorry, no work today. But it's just consider the case of a 55-year-old person called Elizabeth. At one time, she had a good full-time job, manufacturing job, but then her factory closed down. Millions of other Americans have also seen their good job, paying jobs sent out of the country in recent years. Well, this is what Trump is basing his campaign on, to repatriate companies, kind of the made in America. But I was waiting for him to say the other night, use the phrase made in America, and I didn't actually see him or hear him say that. Just adjusting my screen, yep. And he gave little time in his speech to wages and the double jobbing and triple jobbing that people have to do. And I'd like to see if he's going to do that in the rest of his campaign. But anyway, just saying about people working 60 hours a week and in multiple part-time jobs. Certainly no job security and certainly no pension. But it's the same principle that government is killing you with legislation and then having to work so many jobs. And another one, which there's some hope on, Common Core opt-out movement growing. Well, some states have opted out of Common Core. Nationwide, opposition to Common Core is on the rise, and more students and parents are choosing to opt out on their own. According to a story by U.S. News and World Report, over 500,000 school-age children opted out of Common Core standardized testing last year. In New York, around a fifth of students simply didn't take the tests. In November 2013, Federal Education Secretary Arne Duncan, I thought Reagan abolished the Federal Department of Education, but apparently not, attributed opposition to the Common Core to white suburban mums who discover that all of a sudden their child isn't as brilliant as they thought and their school isn't quite as good as they thought. Indeed. Like so many federal bureaucrats, Duncan was dead wrong. As U.S. News reports, the opt-out movement reflects the widespread distaste for across democratic lines, etc., etc., etc. But again, at least there's some people fighting back on Common Core. But and another one of, there's so many things I could read out in relative to all these points. Activists successfully end federal militarization of Los Angeles schools. That's a really hairy story. I'll put that in a second. They were dealing with this in a documentary, that asset forfeiture. Ohio House passes bill to close federal asset forfeiture loophole. Well, considering that's where the Republican convention was just held, I suppose they didn't get much publicity. Last week, the Ohio House passed a bill that would reform asset forfeiture laws to prohibit the state from taking property without a criminal conviction in a majority of cases. Well, the RICO laws are mixed up in this, of course, as well. The legislation also takes on federal forfeiture programs by banning prosecutors from circumventing state laws by passing cases off to the feds. Representative Rob McCauley, Republican Tom, well, you're listing the guys who sponsor the bill. I can read them out. Along with 17 co-sponsors, introduced Bill HB 347 last fall. The legislation would require a criminal conviction before proceedings with asset forfeiture in the majority of cases. Well, the documentary I saw was the police can just lay any charge they like on you and against a property and seize the property. If your son or daughter was smoking drugs in the property, they can put a lien on the property. That's the documentary I was looking at. The bill also almost completely closes the loophole that allows prosecutors to bypass more stringent state asset forfeiture laws by passing cases off to the federal government under its equitable sharing forfeiture program. Another mouthful. The House passed this bill. It will now move to the Senate for further consideration. Blah, blah, blah. But presumably, they're tightening up the federal forfeiture laws in Ohio. That's kind of good news, but not great. It's only state by state. Self-censorship coming to a laptop near you. I haven't read this story before. In an article, Britain moves from democracy to authoritarian state in pernicious surveillance secrecy, written back in September, we describe how in little more than the state has come from an open society with many democratic principles to one that is starting to resemble the authoritarian state. This is demonstrated no better than by a sinister mass surveillance program instigated, developed and kept secret for the state only to be revealed by the leaks of whistleblowers later in the year. Hope he's coming to the point soon in this article. As a concerned, conscientious, or just inquisitive citizen, you may quite rightly ask, why is this happening and for whose benefit? But actually, nowadays, you might not ask at all. The word, panopticon sounds sinister as well as actually being so. It describes a type of institutional building designed by the English philosopher. What's a building? And social theorist Jeremy Benjamin. In the late 18th century, the concept of design is to allow all inmates of an institution to be observed. I'm talking about surveillance cameras, etc. Well, in the UK, we have one surveillance camera for every 11 people. That's how many surveillance cameras are on the go here. And then we have ANPR. Every road, virtually every junction throughout the UK has an ANPR camera, automatic number plate recognition. And it's saying here, a study by the University of Oxford, Oxford Internet Institute, Citizen Lab, University of Toronto, various people have studied this, but on and on again. It's just another story about surveillance and censorship. And but I'll continue in the traffic one here. New UK vehicle mass surveillance database, 1984 Action Day. All roads, well, they're talking about these ANPR cameras. UK roads mass surveillance database. This is not only the police doing this, this is now being subcontracted out to a commercial company. UK roads mass surveillance database contract awarded to subsidiary of arms manufacturer and involved in fraud prosecution. What could possibly go wrong? If only there was a day of action against such things. For almost a decade, UK police have been operating a vehicle mass surveillance system that stores the details of vehicle movements in a centralised police database for at least 2 years. Now the police, the Home Office, that's where Theresa May was working for 7 years. She was the Home Office Minister in charge of police, courts and immigration. Now police, Home Office and the Home Office have decided to replace the database and data mining tools behind the automatic number plate recognition camera. Well, we're coming up. We'll be right back.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, I'll make you a deal. Give me 60 seconds and I'll give you directions to the Fountain of Youth. Okay, I'm joking. Well, kind of joking. No fountains, but youth, I got. Nature's Youth and their premier anti-aging product, Nature's Youth RSF. With your sensible diet and exercise plan, Nature's Youth RSF can help you look and feel better. RSF is an all-natural amino acid supplement that supports your body to naturally increase HGH levels without any synthetic hormones. And elevated HGH levels can contribute to increased energy, improved libido, reduced body fat, and improved exercise capacity. Let's be honest, who doesn't want to look and feel younger? Visit the newly designed website at naturesyouth.com or call 800-333-6923. That's 800-333-6923 and like them on Facebook and you'll be included in contest and exclusive offers. What a deal. Oh, speaking of deals, my time's about up. 800-333-6923 or naturesyouth.com. Who needs a fountain anyway? Call today.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Okay, and we're coming back in. Hearing some very shaky sounds on the music. I hope it's okay on the sound here. But we were discussing their mass surveillance, and it's creep. And the UK have these they've abolished taxes on cars here. You have to have the car taxed, obviously, and you're just given a coded number on a receipt, and there's no tax disc whatsoever. I was supposed to save money, but now we realise this week that the government have lost £100 million on people not taxing their cars, even though you do get fined for that. But they may go back to the tax disc now. But just to read the story about this mass surveillance, which has now been farmed out to a commercial company. The current controversial UK number plate surveillance system stores the details of all vehicles past the cameras for 2 years. The police now claim that this isn't long enough, and that the data mining tools that allow searches for the details of car movements aren't powerful enough for them, really. It has emerged that during the 2012 Olympics, the Metropolitan Police ran their own ANPR database and data mining tools, known as the Olympic Data Feed. The Met say during the Olympics, new ANPR tactics were developed using better software than was available on the national police computer. When the Olympics finished, the Met police were so chuffed with their new surveillance toy that they refused to switch it off. And they said it will only do so if the new ANPR service, NAS, is up to their particular standards of spy. It's amazing they can't catch more criminals with the same system. The system used by the police up to this point has consisted of local databases for each police force and a shared national database. This new system will do away with the local police databases and just run one uber national system. The local systems were supplied by Northgate Public Services Limited, now owned by a private equity group, Cinnaven, etc., whoever they are. But it's like confidentiality, medical records. A commercial company has all this data now. Every day, police forces across the country capture vast amounts of data on vehicle movements, but most of it is never analysed. By analysing the 98% of data that you don't currently use, you can then connect ANPR into the critical source of intelligence for proactive policing, they say here. Appallingly, more than powerful enough, surely, but Northgate are talking about the system that the Met Police don't think is up to the job of spying a motorist. It's a very badly written piece here. The new national ANPR services, NASA, is being switched on in phases this year, though we're not really sure when. There have been no formal announcements about any of the above by the police or the Home Office. Well, it's working on it as such, but they're describing here as a commercial company taking it over. They're making a long-winded statement about it. But the other aspect of it is, so who are Selex? And well, Selex is part of part of the arms industry giant Finmeccanica, also known as Remington Elsag, who run number plate surveillance cameras in North America. Isn't that convenient? Another part of the Finmeccanica is their UK-based subsidiary, August Westland. I don't know why they're giving us all these names. For. In 2013, won a contract to sell helicopters to the Indian Air Force that became mired in controversy due to bribery. Very good. You may remember that Westland Helicopter Company from the 1980s Westland crisis that almost led to the downfall of the British government. This year, two former Finmeccanica, some abbreviation bosses, were sentenced to 4 years in prison for their roles in recent scandals. Very good. To read more about the many surveillance and military projects that Finmeccanica are involved with, see excellent State Watch, Transitional Institute, etc., etc. But again, the police contracting out to the military industrial complex. I should give out the phone number for OBM. Sorry, I cut myself off today. But there's a phone number to phone in here, 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. And here's a little glimmer of light here. Colorado governor signs law allowing residents to collect rainwater on their property. Isn't that unbelievable? I mean, anybody reading this from 100 years ago would laugh out loud. Anyway, we're at the bottom of the hour break and we should be back in a few minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
We're coming back in again. I should kind of correct myself. I'm jumping around a lot of unconnected stories here, but I tried to put them in a kind of a running order and connected with each other. But I'll just finish the story on Colorado governor signs law allowing residents to collect rainwater on their property. I was saying, if somebody in the 1900s or 1920s heard that, they'd say, what? You're being allowed to do this. I mean, this is part of this carry-on where you need a permit from the county or the local authority to do, to scratch yourself nearly. And it's just getting out of hand. Sorry, that's a bottle I have here of water in it. It's now popping back into position, into shape. But anyway, Colorado residents will now be able to collect rainwater on their property after a new bill was signed Thursday by Governor John Hickenlooper. Yeah, Hickenlooper. It used to be Roy Romer when I lived in Colorado, but Hickenlooper. Rainwater surface runoff in Colorado is protected by strict laws to prevent the flow of rainwater from being significantly reduced for people who hold senior water rights downstream. Well, let's just interject here. I could not believe in Colorado, which is a semi-desert state, it really is in the summer, very hot, that people were allowed willy-nilly to use sprinklers on their lawn. I mean, they're such a waste of water. There's just no rhyme or reason to it. Colorado residents will be allowed to store up to 110 gallons of rainwater in 255-gallon barrels. So that's solid. It could be only a day or two's rain. There are a few days. The bill takes effect in August 2016 unless a petition is filed for a voter referendum. Meaning that I have to have a voter referendum. This is shocking. Meaning the proposal would be voted on by the public in the November elections coming up. Oh, yeah. Colorado farmers have been divided over the proposed law, with opponents claiming rainwater collection barrels would decrease the amount of surface runoff which provides water to downstream areas. That's rubbish. In suburban areas in Britain, the problem is people concrete by paving over their driveways and getting rid of lawns is causing flooding simply because the runoff is not enough. You need runoff to run into the ground and then into the watercourses underneath. But this is a really bizarre set of rows going on here. As a compromise, language to preserve prior appropriation rights was added after the House bill passed in February to protect the water supply guarantee to those with older rights. The new law also enables oversight from the state engineer and directs them to study the effects of the change law over a three-year period. According to the Denver Post, this used to be a good paper when I was there, the Colorado Farms Bureau was an opponent of the bill until those caveats were added. I don't know how suburban water problem affects farming communities. Gets me. State Senator Jerry Stunberg was one of the biggest voices in opposing the new law, but called the State Oversight Directive study observed effects of a saving grace for water right holders. Anyway, it's going on and on, this article. I'm rambling. Who's writing this article? I'll find out who it is. Baron Hines from Colorado. Water law is so important in Colorado that it is included in the state's original constitution and managed by the state agency. Absolutely. It's the biggest aquifer in America. The Ogallala Aquifer runs underneath it, but that's now polluted from fracking. Again, is there any sanity in this world? We're trying to dig out stories that would prove that there is some left, but it's hard to do that. That's hard for people to, he's quoting one of these politicians, that's hard for people to understand when the state owns all the water and is charged in the Constitution to distribute that water. Well, that's too much power given to the state. Water being a human right. The bill was helped by a recent study by Colorado State University, which found that the use of rainwater collected in barrels would not significantly decrease the amount of surface runoff following downstream. Well, absolutely, that's somebody talking sanity for once. Colorado State University. The bill's passage comes amid an increased number of Colorado initiatives to conserve resources and reduce the strain on the environment. Colorado, well, stop putting it on your lawns, for God's sake. Use it sensibly. Colorado water conservation, which should only be the rainwater from the roof should be allowed to put on gardens. That would be one sensible proposal. Colorado Water Conservation Board recently released the Colorado Water Plan in November 2015 as a part of the state's new effort to increase sustainability of water supplies. A great word, that sustainability. It has a real meaning. Properly applied, it has a true meaning, but it's been used to attack people. Following on an executive order from these state governors can issue executive orders. My. Well, Trump has promised to abolish all previous executive orders and start from scratch. But like most presidents, I think he'd be reaching for executive orders because he won't have a Congress or a Senate supporting him. The new plan is part of the state's increased effort to reduce water scarcity in Colorado and downstream flow to western states. The plan aims to create measurable goals as increased competition further strains the limited water resources. What's wrong with competition? This is water falling out of the sky that would go to waste, relatively. But they're still very confused about water in Colorado. I'm stunned. It's quite a sensible state. They've mostly got their feet on the ground there. But kind of a good news story, but terrible confusion. the story I'm coming to here in a minute of this Pokemon craze is just leaves me absolutely stunned. But one other story here about U.S. federal court private lawsuit can bring 16 of the world's largest criminal banks to their knees. Oh, we'll see how this is going to go. In 2007, more than a dozen of the world's largest banks colluded to deliberately depress the rate at which they paid out on investments. This rate was known as the London Interbank Offered Rate, LIBOR. Well, two guys went to prison there last week in London for being involved in that, but they were doing it en masse in the London banks for 15 years. And these guys must have volunteered to go to prison. I presume it's for a fee. The rate is known as the London LIBOR, which is the average of interest rates estimated by each of the leading banks in London that would be charged were it to borrow from other banks. Financial institutions, mortgage lenders and credit card agencies around the world set their own rates related to it, and at least 350 trillion, we'll leave that figure in, 350 trillion in derivatives and other financial products are tied to the LIBOR rate. These mega banks suppressed LIBOR during the beginning of the collapse to boost earnings and make their bottom lines appear healthier. This banking conspiracy to rig LIBOR was one of the key factors in bringing about the financial collapse in 2008. Well, it was mainly the derivative scandal and high-powered, capacity computers doing 100,000 transactions a second. And again, there's no transaction tax anywhere in the world on these financial. London is, I think, $3 trillion a day in transactions and no transaction tax. The scandal was so large, in fact, that it nearly bankrupted the planet. Well, there's a worse one underway right now. The financial Armageddon is underway as we speak for lots and lots of reasons. I'll just interject. The last week it was estimated by sensible people who do, and I know a few who are very good economists at estimating accurate information, the European Union, Mario Draghi, ex Goldman Sachs, trying to keep this suppressed because of the UK referendum on leaving the EU, but now it's bursting out. The Italian banks were screaming for 155 billion this month to stay in business. The German, imagine a German bank in trouble. The German Deutsche Bank is nearly bust, and they're trying to cover that up. And the Greeks need to be completely refinanced again, and the amount it comes up to is €500 billion are needed. And Merkel meeting the new British Prime Minister, Theresa May, and that wasn't even discussed. And the foreign ministers met last week, and that wasn't discussed either. But we wait to see the finance ministers meetings shortly. The UNC today actually acknowledged that they have a 10,000-ton boulder rolling towards them, and that's just in the EU, never mind the US debt, etc., etc. After the dust has cleared, multiple investors launched, this is about LIBOR, lawsuits against these megabanks. However, in March 2013, US District Judge Naomi Rees Buchwald dismissed much, though not all, of this class action lawsuit directed at the banks. Well, she must have been there, one on the inside. Buchwald argued in favor of the banks, of course she did, saying that since the LIBOR setting process was never meant to be competitive, the suppression of that process was not anti-competitive. Well, that's convoluted English that nobody understands. The ruling was a huge win for the banks. However, the new ruling by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit has overturned that win. How very good. The appellants sustained their burden of showing injury by alleging that they had paid artificially fixed higher prices. Circuit Court Judge Dennis Jacobs wrote of the three-judge appeals court panel, the revived antitrust lawsuit, the revived antitrust lawsuit, according to the appeals court, could be devastating to these 16 banks, including, and it names them here, that are possibly going to be ripped asunder. Deutsche Bank, AG Royal Bank of Canada, Royal Bank of Scotland, Group PLC, USB, Swiss Bank, HSBC, the drug money laundering bank, Barclays, Credit Suisse, Bank of America, Citigroup, and JP Morgan Chase. What a lineup. And this class action lawsuit is going to hammer them if they lose it. And it is known that Royal Bank of Scotland, which is owned by the British government still at the moment, this has provided $150 billion for lawsuits they're going to lose. They know they're going to lose, which they're going to be sued over appalling criminal activity. And that is not in their accounts just yet. Max Kaiser has dealt with this many times on his program on Russia Today, the Kaiser Report, and that's one of the best financial programs on the planet. Himself and Stacey Herbert, his wife, put out fantastic information, and it's nonstop reporting on financial crime. It is absolutely stunning, and he's up to, like, I think, 700, nearly 900 programs there. It does three a week. But I recommend Max Kaiser on RT. There's no set time of the program. You just go on looking for it. And you'll require three programs a week, 3 half-hour programs. Any first quarter hour, they give out the scandal that's going on. And the second quarter hour, the half-hour program, they have a very, very interesting financial person who usually is a kind of a whistleblower interview as well. But it's outstanding. Anyway, these 16 banks, requiring the banks to pay treble damages to every plaintiff who ended up on the wrong side of the LIBOR-denominated derivative swap if appellant's allegations were put on trial. This is what they're at risk of doing. Would not only bankrupt 16 of the world's most important financial institutions, but also vastly extend the potential scope of antitrust liability in a myriad markets where derivative instruments have proliferated. The U.S. Court of Appeals in New York said in the ruling, as the Free Thought Project, I don't know what that is, has previously reported, there's some group that follow these things, the Free Thought Project has previously reported, these mega banks have been caught over and over rigging the market, and none of them are ever held liable. They simply pay a fine and carry on, a.k.a. bribe to the United States government and continue business as usual. You know, we've seen that in never ending. This time, however, it is not the government waging the lawsuit, it is the private individuals. The sheer number of monetary assets tied to the plaintiffs in this case, that means the 16 banks, could deal a devastating blow to these unscrupulous bankers. And there is a potential, as the appeals court stated, to bring these criminals to their knees. You know, we'll follow this story avidly the next while. Michael A. Carrier, a professor at Rutgers Law School in Camden, New Jersey, said the ruling was extremely important because of the threat to the banks, according to Bloomberg. Anyway, I'll finish up this article. However, as Carrier states, this is far from a home run for the plaintiffs, but it does allow them to go forward with the case. Regardless of the outcome of this case, it will only serve to open the eyes of those who remain oblivious. Well, these people haven't to take the case because the regulators are not doing their job. That is the hardcore, the criminality of the banks and the regulators in Britain and America not doing their job. It's just shocking, and it's going on and on and on again. But anyway, there's another story. It's not trivial, really. It's the lunacy of people. Like I call them, the Facebook people. This Pokemon craze, P-O-K-E-M-O-N, people running around their mobile phones to see a supposed Pokemon character at a secret location. I mean, I'll read this article and I'm pretty sure it'll show up that one of the companies who developed this is a CIA disinformation operation, and it's kind of programming people to take instruction. That's really what it is. Well, all apps and phones do that to you anyway. Tony Carlucci writing this article. Pokemon Go, a location-based interactive augmented reality. There's a mouthful for you. A location-based interactive augmented reality, AR, well, now let's call it AR, game, has been portrayed as a triumph for the video game giant Nintendo. However, it is not entirely Nintendo's doing. Instead, the idea originated within and was developed by Google's internal startup, Niantic. I had another subname of Google. Google are really disappearing into all sorts of names. N-I-A-N-T-A-C, Niantic, another Google operation. Niantic, in turn, is headed by John Hankey, who, before becoming a tech entrepreneur, worked for the U.S. Department of the U.S. State Department, with Hillary Clinton, probably. The Financial Times, in its article, says, the man who put Pokemon Go on the map, Mr. Hankey, now 49, has spent more than a decade with the search giant Google after it acquired his previous company, Keyhole, whose rich digital cartography and satellite images formed the basis of both Google Earth and Maps. For Mr. Hankey, who worked for the U.S. Department of State in Myanmar, M-I-A-N-M-A-R, before moving to the San Francisco Bay Area to study for MBA in University of California, Berkeley, it was his third startup to be acquired. Just why Hankey's stint at the U.S. State Department is important is best understood by examining its relationship with Google, the giant tech. I found this week, looking up the scandal about the Clintons, I haven't got it ready for this week's program because Google are pulling it. The shocking disappearance of hundreds of millions of dollars out of the Haiti Rescue Fund by the Clinton Foundation. You have to go into other search engines like Bing and Yahoo, and you do get better information. But the main database of the world now are controlled by Google. But Google are protecting Hillary Clinton, and one of their directors is running a campaign data mining situation for her. But it's absolutely shocking, and I had direct experience of that this week, and that's why I don't have it for this program this week. I wanted to do a major thing on that, and up to last night, I still couldn't get it. But I contacted other people in data mining in Canada. I'm sure they'll get it for me. Google and the U.S. State Department, a quick primer. Google has played a pivotal role in augmenting reality in more ways than one. Well, as I was saying to people on stuff I've written there recently, Google has one, two, three priorities now: advertising, data mining, and the third one is information. Information used to be number one, but not anymore. Before, it was populating the world with virtual Pokemon characters. It helped manipulate public perception during the unfolding U.S. engineering Arab Spring. Anyway, I'll start this again. We're going to a break, and we should be back in a few minutes.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
For the most amazing, calming, brain-stabilizing, blood sugar, and natural addiction-breaking formula, try CalMind. Anxiety melts, panic is gone, sleep is restful, and you'll stay calm during stress. Better than booze, mind-altering drugs, or anti-anxiety, antidepressant, toxic medications, CalMind lubricates your mind so you'll sail through the day effortlessly. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com and listen to the NutriMedical Report on GCN with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutriMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
Okay. coming back in again. And just trying to delve through this quite a long article here, really long, about some very good pieces in it, but it's a bit heavy to read out the whole thing. But Google involvement with the State Department is absolutely stunning. And there's this other organization called Alliance of Youth Movements, AYM, has held summits as early as 2008 to prepare opposition groups for the planned 2011 uprising. This is the Arab Spring that Google are involved in with the State Department regarding disinformation. This is while Hillary Clinton was there. It's also sponsored by the State Department. Various subsidiaries included the National Endowment for Democracy, where they have cropped up many, many times, NED, which funded opposition groups upon the return to their home countries after the Arab Spring. Other corporate and media giants also provided support, including Facebook, of course. What these people are involved in is shocking. Google was well represented at the AYM summit, youth organization, at the 2008 New York summit. Google attendees included Vice President New Business Development Megan Smith, Director of New Business Development Gisel Hiscock, and they're coming to name again, and Katie Stampson. Now here's the key guy we've got to get to. Also in attendance was Jared Cohen, who at the time represented the U.S. State Department but would later end up also working for Google, revealing yet another conflict of interest ridden corporate government governance revolving door, this time leading in and out of the tech industry. Cohen's story further illustrates the incestuous ties between tech giant Google and global schemes of the U.S. State Department. They're embedded in the system, like these so-called embedded reporters. Anytime you see a report from an embedded reporter, it is totally staged. There's no doubt about it. But just finishing off this article, I'm looking for... here we are. Pokemon, that's what I want to get down to. Before Niantic's Pokemon Go, there was Ingress. Well, I wouldn't know about that. The technological successes of such applications, including Pokemon Go, seem just as likely to be abused as the applications that preceded them. And let's see if this article explains it. With Google's cozy relationship with the U.S. State Department amply established and John Hankey history with both, as well as Niantic, the developer of Pokemon Go, the general public's interest should at the very least be piqued. Though Niantic was officially spun off from Google, it is difficult, if not impossible, to establish what connections Hankey maintains formally with his company. This Pokemon Go, I haven't got the piece here. I'm sorry it's disorganized today, because that Clinton and Haiti scandal took a lot out of me, and I haven't got a coherent set of articles because they're being blocked by Google. But it says in the short trailer for the game, Pokemon Go includes phases such as global security could be at risk, an actual takeover of the mind, and monitor the effects of the mind hacking, which may first seem like nothing more than the ingredients of dystopian science fiction. It's convoluted. Until users are made aware of Niantic, Google, and the U.S. State Department's use of technology that the three already collaborate on. This is a very... I'm reading what's here on this article, but it's very convoluted here. But these Pokemon Go games are designed to program people, to take instructions, and take on some serious points from time to time, but it's mind control. Pokemon Go is about mind control. That's what it's about. I hear the background music. We're at the top of the first hour, amazingly, and we should be back in a few minutes.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat. Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.